The Old Testament reading for today comes from 2 Kings chapter 2. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha says, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you?" And he said, "Yes, I know it. Keep quiet." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The sons of the prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know it. Keep quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the sons of the prophets also went and stood at some distance from them as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his cloak and rolled it up and struck the water. And the water was parted on the one side and to the other, till the two of them could go over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "Please let there be a double portion of your spirit on me." And he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so." And as they still went on and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and cried, "My father, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." And he saw him no more. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. "Since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, for with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. We continue with hymn number 631, verses as marked.
Thank you.
Our gospel comes from Mark chapter 9. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make 3 tents, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." For he did not know what to say, for they were terrified. And a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, he charged them to tell no one what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the word of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm probably not the person equipped to be giving this sermon. It's out of my normal swing space, you might say, but I don't think it's out of the experience of the church. The only way that I can approach it is St. Augustine. Probably his most famous quote, "Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." There is something in us all that longs for transcendence. And I'm using that word knowing that most of the time we don't even know what it means. It's also the one word that our current cultural understanding doesn't actually allow. More on that in a minute. But first, a look at some of what we equate with transcendence. If you listen to popular radio at all, you've probably heard the song, "Take Me to Church." The artist Hozier skillfully borrows religious imagery and words to invoke a sense of transcendence and deep longing. But the church that he longs to go to is not the imagery that he uses. Instead, he only worships in the bedroom. This is a particularly skillful and soulful recent song, but there are other songs to other material pursuits. Hip-hop often longs to get rich or die trying, and does so naively and unapologetically. Money is the longed-for transcendence. And you don't exactly climb the stairway to heaven without some good drugs. All of them place something at the mountaintop. But there are just as many pop songs about how the view from those mountaintops isn't everything it was cracked up to be. Bruce Springsteen has made a career seemingly out of recording the same song with the same theme over and over again. Every tunnel of love ends in the dark, and every fastball ends in a bar talking about glory day. There are more introspective songs as well. The Mountaintop might be a more refined idea of love. The band Passenger recently added, "You only need the light when it's burning low. You only know you love her when you let her go." A pop song that I think Dante and his Beatrice could have understood climbing a different hill. Maybe the most challenging are songs that put forward ideas or philosophies that aren't self-evidently wrong to anyone not already lost in their pursuit. It might seem crazy what I'm about to say, but sunshine is here to stay because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth. Pharaoh's is a room without a roof, so he can always keep the beautiful vision. There are all kinds of things that we can place at the mountaintop that we can confuse for transcendence or for the transcendent. At the top of the mountain, Peter, James, and John have two problems. Two problems that I think are common to those pop song treatments. The first is the focus on the what of the experience. First, the purely material. His clothes became irradiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. Then the higher symbolics, analogous to passengers' lost love or Pharaoh's happy philosophy. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. We confuse the signs of the mountaintop vision with what they point towards. We substitute those signs for the reality. We think that sex is transcendence. The white clothes are what are transformed. We hold on to ideas like love or happiness, like the law and the prophets, or any of the other things scholars have attempted to identify with Moses and Elijah. We take the signs of transcendence as the thing itself. And then we try desperately to hold on or even to recreate those signs of the vision. Rabbi, it's good that we're here. Let's make three tents, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. The signs never completely satisfy. They fade. They disappear. We try again, but we remain restless. We don't know what to say sometimes, and time can seem to be running out, which terrifies us as the vision fades, just like it terrified Peter losing the vision set before him. It's not that these signs are bad, but they are signs of transcendence. A cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, "This is my beloved son, listen to him." And suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them but Jesus only. The signs all point to the reality, which is Jesus alone. And Jesus doesn't fade. The reality stays with us. Transcendence has come to us. And it's chosen to come to us humbly, available to all by faith. Not on some torturous spiritual journey, nor on a repeated mountaintop climb, but by listening to and by believing the preaching. This one is my son. One does not need to go to the mountaintop because Jesus has come down to us. All that is needed are ears to listen to him. This one is the Son. We are restless until we find our rest in you. We are looking for that transcendence, desperately seeking the desired. But we are often holding on to the signs of his presence and not grabbing Christ alone. here in this world. Christ comes to us not in grand ways or by what we do, but in the ways that he has promised. Listen to him. This is my body. This is my blood. Go and baptize all nations because you have been baptized into Christ. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven, and what you forgive on earth has been forgiven in heaven. Your sins are forgiven. We meet the living Christ in his word and in his sacraments. And that word and those sacraments form the body of Christ, just as they always have. We're no longer frightened because he's risen. We're no longer holding on to Moses and Elijah because he's fulfilled. We can rest because we have Christ, the transcendent. We don't need the mountain. By faith, he is ours. And by faith, we move those mountains out of the way. By faith, the transcendent has come near to us, full of grace and truth. Amen.